Welcome back. We are looking at the ripple effects from the progressiveness of revelation. And I thank God for the presence of my brothers here. They've spoken at length and said so much. I want to continue. We're going to look at the two dispensations. Mm. Of a sudden, you know, the traditional
belief
among the followers of the ministry of Billy Graham
is
about the seven dispensations. Billy Graham is the prophet messenger, as we put it.
Mm-hmm.
And is the messenger to this dispensation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but here is Pastor Moses coming to say there are only two dispensations, the dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace. That did not go down well with a lot of people. So I want to hear from you guys. What was the ripple effect you witnessed among others concerning this?
Interestingly, to the denomination, they've always believed that, though.
Sure. Every Bible scholar.
Has always believed that, though. It's we who went, the entire message circle that went a bit further and then used that term.
Not a bit further. Let me give you one word.
Okay,
give it right. A bit further. The truth is that in the message, anything that sounds strange, that does not have a Bible proof, we like it.
I think
we like those kind of things.
Pastor Gabriel, I think it is because Bram is the message, not Jesus.
Hey.
And
to a lot of people in that circle. Instead of Jesus being the message.
Yes. Bram is a message to those people. And when you put a man in the message, you are actually locking the Lord Jesus outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why Jesus is still outside, knocking at the door, because that prophecy is for those message believers.
Mm-hmm.
We are the one who is locking the Lord Jesus Christ outside.
Yeah, not for
generation. And we are putting a man. It is clear, sir, that we have two dispensations, Moses and Jesus. Moses was given the law, and grace and truth came through Jesus. So show me one scripture that proves that Brother Abraham is the dispensational prophet of this.
If we have that scripture, then the Muslims too also come and say Muhammad too is also.
Of course, the Roman Catholic pick up their own also, the Catholic religion. Mm. They will go and pick Revelation 12, the first part, and tell you it is Mary.
Mm.
That is how we have done it to ourselves.
Mm.
We pick Malachi 4, like you quoted, 5 and 6. I said earlier that they will not go to from, they will not read from verse 1. Mm. They will just pick the one that will suit the message. And if you can quote the quote of William Branham in the message, you're a pastor.
No, because you'll be hearing strange things. It's very, very strange things, though. Prophet messenger. It's not found in the Bible. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
Like, you can't find that statement anywhere in the Bible.
They're saying something.
Prophet messenger. Who said that to us? It was somebody that said it.
Sure.
We cannot find it in the Bible, but we are carrying it in our head.
Mm.
Stature of perfect man.
Mm.
We cannot find that in the Bible. It's a statement. But some people quote that as Bible.
Mm.
And the Bible talks about the stature of perfect man. Where can we find that? It's not written like that. So, the tradition of taking what somebody says and making it scripture is, that's what you find in the entire message.
Mm.
When you leave that pattern, because it's a man now, when you leave that man pattern and come to Bible, brother, you'll be shaking too many people. Yes, truly. We know the Bible in the book of John talks about grace.
John 1:17.
Let's read it. It's a common scripture now.
Mm. Yeah.
John chapter 1, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
For the law was given by Moses,
but
grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
So we're establishing the fact here, just as Rebecca pointed, every Bible scholar, every theologian knows that there are only two different dispensations. Law and grace. Agreed?
Yes, that's right.
We're agreeing already. So we have agreed, just as Pastor Moses preached too. So now, another conk, you know, because they are conk message believers, another conk message believers gave us scriptures, you know, that talks about dispensation. But brethren, let's all reason together and see, it's Bible. It's common English. He quoted
Colossians chapter 1, verse 25.
Yes, sir.
Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
He says that this particular statement, dispensation, is mentioned there. Therefore, every other person that came in these church ages were dispensational prophet.
Yes, they say Paul was a prophet messenger. So every other person, prophet messenger.
Mm. He quoted Ephesians 3, 2. We are going to explain this thing. So
that's right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2.
Yes, sir.
If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, what?
He said by this statement, that's another dispensation. It's confirming that Paul is a, there's a dispensational thing going on that Christ is doing. Okay, another one, Ephesians 1:10.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10.
Dispensation.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, you might gather together in one all things in Christ.
He says by this. These are the scriptures. And the fourth one is 1 Corinthians 9:17.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. You seem to know these scriptures very well. It seems you are you're one of these people.
We hear it from them.
Okay. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me.
Brothers, when I read these scriptures, I'm telling you the gospel truth. The Bible, Paul, is speaking to us, and we need to understand what the man is trying to say. Of a truth, a major task, a major work of taking this gospel to a different set of people is really a serious work that should be done. I would call it a serious work that can be given to, it must be given to a skilled person, through of us. Because the gospel is going to the Gentiles.
Foundation was going to be laid.
I mean, something new is going to be introduced to these people.
They don't use everybody to lay foundation.
Very correct.
Skilled men.
Yes.
Apostle Paul did his part by laying the foundation that we know today now that has built the Church of Jesus Christ, the early church. Till date, you and I are still referring to what Paul did.
Foundation layers.
So, brothers, if Paul said, hey, dispensation, not the dispensation. A part of the work that Jesus is doing in the time of grace was given to him. A part that was appointed to him. Should we now say a part was appointed to every other person that followed? But do you also know, brothers and sisters, brethren, anybody listening to us, brother, do you know that if you are in the fivefold ministry, Christ apportioned a portion to you too? It's a work. He's giving us a work to do. It's an appointment. So what's the big deal?
A dispensation.
What's the big deal? It's an appointment, it's a work. There's no big deal about it. Paul was only telling us, I have a job that was given to me.
And the job that Paul had, if you agree with me, none can come in that
standard.
No.
Nobody.
I love what Brother Gabriel just said, that Paul did a part of the work that Christ
had. Yes.
Because if you look at Isaiah, okay, let's take it from Acts chapter 26. Okay.
Exactly.
Acts chapter 26 from verse 15. He says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now, verse 18 is my emphasis. To open their eyes, the Gentiles, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, this prophecy is in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7.
Exactly.
And it is a messianic prophecy. It's a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness.
Exactly.
Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7.
Exactly.
And we hold thy hand, and we keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. This was what the Lord Jesus was to do. But he appointed an apostle.
He appointed an apostle, and this apostle was telling us that I have an appointment.
A dispensation.
I have an appointment that has been given to me. All of you know.
Continued on the dispensation of grace.
Same
so
thing.
So not that Paul was building another dispensation.
It's not possible. No theologian will refer to Paul's part as a dispensation. A different work. No theologian does that.
Yes, because the church in Greece.
Simple. Paul only preached on grace. He didn't introduce anything new to us. So when we hear them say things like this on dispensation, truly you ask them to bring their scriptures. These are the scriptures available. So I've quoted it. There's not that one, Abi. There's any other one. So we have quoted it, except one on that one.
Because, yeah, man, may God help us.
Amen.
I think the devil really, the spirit of error invaded the end time message.
Seriously.
He did. Seriously. We are wondering, what is the origin and the source of all this? When Apostle Paul could say, if you preach any other gospel than what I preach, let the person be accursed. Are we going to be comparing another ministry to the ministry that God used to lay the foundation for the New Testament church?
You know, one other thing I believe that has been an issue is, in the end time message, just as I think Pastor Gabriel once said earlier, that there's this desire for revelation, to know more, to have something that stands you out.
Yeah, something
to have something that stands you unique. Mm. And yes, it's good, but without the thinking man's filter, it's also something that can throw one off balance.
True.
Throw the person off course. As those who do things, especially the military and any other person who works with compass suits, know when you're drawing, when you're walking 1 degree
away.
Where you find yourself, you are moving in this direction, you find yourself moving in this direction. By the time you get to that end, you'll be wondering to yourself, how did you get to this point?
Just 1 degree.
1 degree away. Mm. And then, but when we look at the things that are coming, so the question then is, did the revelation end with William Branham? Did God stop speaking to his church after William Branham left the scene? Did God stop raising up men? Yeah. And then we have quotes. I have something here. Mm. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, preached in 58, I think 1958, and then it says, paragraph 18, but the reason denominations are now, here's what starts denominations. God will reveal a little something to somebody, and they will come and make a denomination around that belief that they have, and then God can't move any further. And brethren, I'm really scared that this is what is happening to the end time message. Because when Luther, after Luther had come forth, preached the just shall live by faith, which was the center focus of the doctrine he preached, when he was off the scene and Wesley came on board telling the people about justification, Lutherans held on to it and formed a denomination around it. When Wesley left the scene, just shall live by faith, and then Simon came on board, the Wesleyans held on to it and then they formed a denomination out of it. Now, Simon left the scene, William Branham came on board, Simon Pentecostals formed themselves, and oh, we hold on to the Holy Ghost. A woman can preach. And then they are refusing to move on to the light that was coming, that come forth to balance what God, the truth of God's word. Exactly. Because everybody was holding on to their own denomination, which was what William Branham came to do, the perfecting ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, God is still perfecting the church through the fivefold ministry, according to Ephesians 4:11, and uniting us together. Because William Branham didn't finish up the work. If not, the rapture would have taken place before I was even given birth to. Because William Branham was long gone before I was even given birth to, most of us here. Now, but with God still doing the work, some people now are now forming a denomination around what William Branham had preached, and they are refusing further light.
Exactly.
And the prophet had actually said, let's see some other thing, which he said, what is the Holy Ghost? That's a topic preached in 1959, paragraph 75. It says, Luther walked in one light, Wesley walked in another, Wesley walked in one light, Pentecost walked in another. I know we're going to probably want to say, why has he been using Pentecost instead of William? So we might come to that. He said, but we are walking on higher than that today. Mm. And if there's another generation, it will go beyond us. So why is it that William Branham said he was working on a dimension higher than the Pentecostal generation? And he said, if there's another generation, it will go beyond. So why are we then holding on and saying, no, you're trying to come and break down this? Even when the scripture is very, it's very plain about it.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's really, if you give me, I'll give you more quotes.
Wow,
I swear.
You have taken us to a point we are going to go to. That is about William Branham. Did William Branham bring anything new? I think that was one of the you know, some people have said if they have a gun, they will shoot Pastor Moses.
My God.
How can you say Brother Branham did not bring anything new? This man is a blasphemer. This man is Antichrist. That's what some people are teaching in their churches today. In fact, many message preachers don't have any sermon anymore. Pastor Moses and Brother Assembly Church has become their sermon. anything Pastor Moses said, they'll come and you see Antichrist spirit, this and that. So what about that? What has been the ripple effect you observed when Brother Moses came and said, William Branham didn't bring anything new? Okay. That did not go down well with many people.
I saw a post
okay.
Of a minister that was saying, William Branham is the light. That he shines forth the light. That a greater light is shining on him and is the one shining the light on the bride.
Hmm.
That was the quote from the man. But remember, John, before I go to that question, John saw something in the book of Revelation chapter 1, from verse 12. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Remember, there are candlesticks, but the candlesticks were not talked about here. Yeah. It was the man, the one in the midst
of the candlesticks,
That was spoken about.
Hallelujah.
Now, did William Branham bring anything new? Show us biblically. You say serpent seed. It has been preached before.
That's right.
If you say it is William Branham that brought it, prove it, bring it. Prove the year, the date. Because as children of God, we must work with facts. Bring the date, the time, and we'll believe you. Not true, not even Bible.
And it has been easier today with Google.
Yes.
If you just Google it, serpent seed doctrine, you see that long before Brother Branham,
was
there people that had this notion.
Sure.
Exactly. In fact, if you read the church fathers, you see that certain church fathers had even my sinkers to believe.
You know, I actually, on one of the platforms I happened to be on, somebody was raising up certain things, the signs, the halo on the head, the face of a man that appeared in the cloud, the spirit of the Lord speaking on the 17th person. Listen, brethren, if you go through YouTube, you will see like when we used to have the youth contenders very active. I was part of those. I think not just me.
All of us
stood at the altar and were shouting, vibrating these things. And see, but the truth is this: anyone who will be sincere,
sincerity.
Because the truth is, God seeks those who worship Him in spirit
and in truth.
And in truth. Now, the thing is, a lot of us are pursuing what we call truth, but when we check by the Spirit of God, we know something is missing.
True.
We know something is missing.
True.
Why is it now the Spirit of God is opening for that light? And right now, just as you said, internet has made it easier. Go online. See people bringing out points that they are using to counter some of the signs and proofs.
That's not even where we're going to.
And I'm not even going there. Where I'm even going to is that it then brings you to understand that go beyond the signs and look to the word.
The word.
What was William Branham pointing the church back to?
Amen.
It's the word of God. Amen. And if we cannot use the word of God to be our basis, what else do we want to use to be our basis?
I'll take a point from a cue from Rebecca. Brother Sidney has said now that the focus is not the candlesticks, but Christ. the message believers, so-called, I call them so-called. Pastor Moses has been able to show us who an end-time message believer is.
Mm.
So some of these people are just claiming what they are really not. They are not back to the Bible because real, true message believers are back to the Bible. We're not back to quotes. We're not back to quotes.
All the tapes.
No. We are back to the Bible.
Amen.
And if you come back to the Bible, there are some things you will hear you will not accept. You will not accept. And there are some things you will hear that should not even get you annoyed.
Mm.
Now, William Branham didn't bring anything new. Why does that annoy you?
Like that's
does it affect your salvation?
Why does that annoy you?
Like, why does that?
Why are you angry?
Why are you waiting for him to bring?
Are you expecting him to write another?
And the same people have not come out to come and shout when they are saying when people are making caricatures of Jesus' face on cartoons and things like that. Though. Nobody is coming out to come and talk and say these things.
Do you know what?
But when it comes to the man that they hold on to,
do you know what funny thing? If any major event happens in the world, we want to run and look for where William Branham said it. What's the problem?
It seems they want William Branham more vindicated than Jesus Christ.
And my brother, as in, the thing is, The Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God already has prophecies that we are waiting for to be fulfilled. And the word of God, if he says, if God says a thing, God watches his word. Mm-hmm. One of our sisters who gave a testimony in the church here in Bride Assembly, she made a statement that pastor himself re-echoed and said he will preach about. Mm. He said, trust my process. Mm. When God says a thing, he begins a process. Mm. All we need to do is trust and follow his process. If God's process can be traced back. Mm. Prophecies that Isaiah gave, how many years ago? Mm. More than 3,000, 4,000 years ago. We see the fulfillment in our present generation. Yeah. We can trace it. Mm. So, well, why must you go and look for a prophecy? You want to find something to fit that the prophet said it to vindicate him. Why are we doing that? So, my question to them is, if we say Willie Brown didn't bring anything new, which is a fact, why is it affecting you?
Are you expecting him to bring something
new? Why you bothered? That?
Or you put the question this way. Do you want him to write a new Bible or restore you back to the Bible?
Which one are you looking for?
Because if he did not bring anything new, it should not be an issue.
It should not be an issue.
The only thing that's been given to us for our salvation is the Bible.
Exactly.
It's our compass, our guide.
Exactly.
It's our roadmap. Mm. So we are not to expect, Apostle Paul said, if anybody will bring any other gospel, contrary to what I preach, what? He said, let it be accursed.
Can I bring this quote from William Branham?
Okay.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit
preached.
No, there's a need to balance this thing, because when you just speak one side, they might think, oh, they are just saying from their own side. They don't want to look from their own angle. Hope, maybe if the Bible cannot convince them, and our words cannot convince them, maybe the prophet will be enough to convince them. That's my own angle. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, preached in 1958, says, we believe the Bible. This was Abraham saying. And then there's a lot of things in there that we don't know. Plenty of it. But we are standing open. Lord Jesus, just reveal it.
Can I tell you? Can I say something now that will shock everybody?
Mm. Go on.
No preacher brings anything new.
That's right.
No preacher brings anything
new. That's right.
But the Holy Ghost brings new things.
Amen. Amen. Every scribe that's instructed into the kingdom is like a man that's an householder that brings it out of his treasure things new
and old.
Matthew 13.
No preacher brings anything new. But any preacher filled with the Holy Ghost, if he reads the Bible, the Holy Ghost will align the word to him.
That's right.
It is the aligning of the word that we should be bothered about.
But even talking of doctrines, we already have our apostolic doctrines.
I mean, already there, it's clear.
Abraham did not bring. Somebody will tell you, he's the one that preached serpent seed. Some people even go as ignorant to say that water baptism in Jesus' name was brought forth from
by William Branham.
It's so funny.
I want to assume that no preacher preached the doctrine of serpent seed. But every Jew know what happened in the Garden.
No, there are people that even preached it.
No, let me assume. But every Jew, the Bible, they replied Jesus.
Definitely, that's right.
But another thing we should look at, I think, that caused a lot of reaction, that brought about a lot of effect, is the impute of William Seymour. That people say,
because that one was a big blow.
Because these people that teach on dispensations, to make their point clear, because what they want to sell out to you is that Abraham is the dispensational messenger. They'll tell you there are seven church ages, which is a fact, and seven dispensations, and then each church age has a messenger, and then the seventh is William Branham. And that's the traditional belief of the entire message of the followers of the ministry of William Branham. And of a sudden, Pastor Moses comes and says that the messenger to the seventh church age is not William Branham, it's William Seymour.
That one hit me very well.
Oh, it hit you very well.
It took some months before I recovered, though. Because the truth is, you know, may God deliver us from that spirit.
Amen.
That spirit nearly took a hold of a lot of us. The spirit of looking to a man. And this is the major problem they have in the entire message, as we are sitting pointed. They want to look at a man. You know, the moment the man, Pastor Moses says, an idol, the moment the idol of the entire message was touched, the reaction, it exploded. It's an atomic bomb. It exploded everywhere, because you can touch any other thing. You can remove Paul, remove anybody, but don't remove their idol. Now, but let's look at scripture and look at church history.
That's right.
Brother, if you don't know where you are coming from, you might miss your road.
That's right.
That's the truth. a lot of believers, especially in the end time message, not the denominationals, every denominational who is well schooled, they know history well. That this is how the church movement went. That after it happened to Luther, there was a great progression through Wesley. Every church, every theologian who reads knows this thing. So
that's right.
Who reads, who studies, they know this. That after it went from Luther, there was a great move with Wesley. After Wesley, the next great move everybody knows about that followed was Azusa. Even William Brown testified of the same. So how can we, in our minds, because we want to fulfill a selfish motive, remove a particular major move that history confirms and replace it with something that was, that is, as far as we are concerned today, seem to be like an, something you are claiming, you just claim it.
No, historically, the Azusa Street movement is more powerful and more popular than the Ministry of William Brown.
Historically, yes.
As of then and even now.
It was a major move.
It's just we that believe in William Brown that, oh, cherish his ministry. And but if you even people that are not Christians, who are historians,
yes,
if you ask them the history of Christianity, as long as it was so, it made the headlines.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that William Brown's ministry also, but the move of God in the Azusa Street was very popular.
Very, very popular.
More popular than that of the ministry of William Brown. So we cannot remove that move, like Brother Gabriel was saying, and just
be silent over it. You know, it makes us look very selfish, like there's something we're hiding. We're replacing a major move with something that not everybody knows. You ask people questions, they are still thinking, who is that? But mention Azusa, everybody knows, because it was a major thing that took place. Yes. So it's like, if that major thing happened, then who started that fire? Who lit the fire? It must be the man that was walking beyond with the candlestick. He must be the one to have started that fire.
Amen.
It could not have been any other person. Who started the fire?
Hallelujah.
The person walking in the midst of the golden candlestick. He did. Amen. And he did it. He used somebody.
Amen.
The man he used cannot, we shouldn't ignore the person he used now. Amen. Even if he's black.
The infant of arm. Well, to wrap this up, we're going to be commenting on this final topic. And this is where a lot of people are, you know, punching and eating Pastor Moses as to him correcting himself.
Okay.
He came up and preached a message titled The Test of Sincerity, and he corrected himself. And a lot of people are having issues with that. So please, men of God, I don't understand. What are the ripple effects to that? But was it wrong for Pastor Moses to come and say that what he has been preaching for so many years was wrong? Somebody went as far as saying that now he's associating with
Pentecostals,
is now money is now coming in, and so he wants to be accepted.
I wish the money was coming in, something larger than this.
He wants to be accepted, so he's correcting himself, and they're saying all manner of things. But let's hear from you guys.
Right. Well, let me drop this. The movement of God cannot be nobody can stop it. Correcting yourself has not turned to a sin. Pastor Moses mentioned something. He said, 7 years ago, he was preaching some things, and he saw those things, he was ashamed of himself. Now, after 7 years, comes Jubilee. Exodus 21, verse 2.
Amen. You can hold the slave for 7 years.
We're in bondage for seven years. The bondage of the doctrines of being a Brahmite. But after 7 years, the Holy Ghost started his move in this local assembly.
Amen.
And of course, the Holy Ghost will only work with a sincere person. If you are not sincere, God cannot move with you. Remember David in the book of 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles 15? David carried the ark wrongly. And it caused, somebody died because of it. Now, David had to verify, how will I carry the ark?
God bless you, brother.
If David felt, I am the king.
I cannot be corrected. I cannot make a mistake.
I cannot verify for correction. I cannot go for correction. people will still die.
That's right.
More people, David, more people will die. That's how you
put David had to verify how will I carry the ark. And immediately he did it the right way. The presence of God came down.
So he corrected himself. That's what you're saying. That's a very good input, Brasini. Okay.
Well, if you allow me to touch that before, I know you guys already started.
It's a brother, my dear.
You see, this is really a young man said that that there are seven star messengers. Pastor Moses is removing William Brahma and putting with Simon. You know, it's like he's doing a bad thing. You know, but Pastor Moses himself gave us his reasons, told us clearly that no, he's not removing your idol. He only told us that he discovered that there was a we made a mistake. Let's correct it. It's a general mistake. And he has been bold enough to correct it that no, there's a ministry we are overlooking that Christ started by himself. He lit that fire. And that's Azusa and his will and Simon. And that gave birth to whatever anybody claims today. That ministry gave birth to that. Even William Brown testified that he himself received the Holy Ghost in one of those meetings. True or false?
True.
So now, can these things be verified in scripture? I think this is where we should be more concerned. Can these things, do they have a scriptural balance? This thing Pastor Moses is saying, can we balance it from scripture? Because if you read only Revelations 1, the seven church age, and put William Brown there and remove Simon, you are causing a wound you cannot even heal. But if we go back to the same scripture the Lord Jesus Christ himself used in Mark chapter 4, we are able to see that there's a process for the restoration of the church, complete restoration of the church. It must go through a process, as Pastor has taught us in Mark chapter 4. Not because he taught us, but because we saw it also. And
that's
we had
right. Scripture.
See, the Urim and Thummim was not useless. The Urim and Thummim had a purpose.
Amen.
God did not give the Urim and Thummim for show off, necklace, just wear bracelet. No, the Urim and Thummim is to flash light.
Amen.
Anything you say, the Urim and Thummim must flash the light. If the light is not flashed on the Urim and Thummim, it's not correct.
Amen.
The moment Pastor Moses says anything, what people don't even know is that we are the background. We check the Urim and Thummim.
That's right.
If we don't see it, we are going to his office.
Straight.
Or we send WhatsApp message. Sir, Daddy, you said... We didn't see it though. And he must show us from scripture. So, Pastor Moses has developed this skill where he doesn't come out to say anything until he has a proof from Bible. Because he knows there are certain people who must see the flash. We must see that it flashed. And when we checked the book of Mark chapter 4, which from verse 26, we saw that the growth, that unconscious growth of that plant, actually goes through four stages.
That's right.
Four stages.
If it goes through four stages, it's clear. It's very clear. It makes it unique. Because the book of Revelation has some coded language that you need to understand it. Because if we tell them William Brown's ministry is actually there, hidden somewhere, they might not believe. But if we show them from Mark, maybe they will see it. There is actually four processes written there. It's four actually. And God must go through his process because God trusts his own process.
Amen.
Let's not change it. God's process is that it must start from Luther.
That's right.
Then it will go to Wesley. After Wesley has done his part, it will hit Simon. And after Simon has done that mighty move of revival that happened, then the perfecting ministry will begin to perfect the church. If it doesn't go like this, something is wrong with the process. So we must agree that Pastor Moses is not just a parrot talking like some people want to call him or they have even called him. No, Pastor Moses is actually a preacher who is able to take us to the scripture and prove the word. And his members are not foolish people.
No,
we are listening to him. We are using our Bible. And we are reading and seeing that, no, this man is actually bringing us back.
Many don't even know that sometimes before he preaches something openly, when he discovers something new, he calls certain of us and shares.
Exactly.
And then we'll criticize everything in the Bible. And when we're all able to see it and agree with him, he comes openly and preaches it. So they think, many times they think we're just whatever person.
Oh yes, we are not members.
If he's saying something on scriptural, exactly. It would have been corrected even from his church.
So it's really interesting and painful also. It's interesting to us that we're seeing this, but it's painful that it is coming from people who are supposedly, they know Bible too much. End-time believer. They know Bible too much. And then you are hearing somebody that said he knows Bible too much. And you are showing him a basic thing that both scripture and history confirms. He's denying it, that it never happened. Removing Simon from the seven church ages is denying history.
That's right.
You are denying history. Mm. That's the meaning.
That's a powerful statement from Brad Gabriel. So Pastor Moses correcting himself. Yes,
Reverend. All right. Pastor Moses correcting himself. Brad Sidney made a statement referring to David in the Old Testament. So let's just look at something. Has it happened in the New Testament? Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 28.
I thought you were going to give a Brown
quotes. No, I'm not giving a Brown quote. Let's look at the Bible. They already have quotes. Let's see.
And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the spirit.
Let's take note of the characteristics we are seeing of this man. Okay.
And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly.
He was preaching with all these characteristics. There was one thing that was not still in order. Continue.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly.
Can we stop here? He had a choice at this point to still run with all. Every other aspect was perfect. It was just one particular area that was not in order.
God bless you.
And then there was an enlightenment coming. He had a choice to tell them, do you know who I am? He had a choice to tell them, I've been preaching this for how many years? So how do you want me? Or to tell them, oh, I'm going to step down. I will no longer preach again because I've made a mistake. How do I correct all that I've been preaching for long? But let's continue, verse 27.
And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace.
28,
for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
After he had been corrected.
After he had been corrected.
And he took correction.
He took correction.
Then he went back to his pulpit. And Pastor Apilia, Pastor Apollos began to correct himself. Thank you for the scripture.
Okay, about Pastor Moses correcting himself. Many end-time message believers don't know that Brother Abraham himself corrected himself. In 1963, after the opening of the seals, he corrected several things he taught before. And then Pastor Moses gives his reasons for his correction. He said he had been a parrot, repeating what highly respected people in the end time message had been saying earlier. No, as Brother Gabriel, Brother Sidney Abrebuka put it, just reciting, repeating what someone said because you highly respected him, without doing like the Bereans to go and cross check from the Bible and be certain of what you believe. And he also said something. Well, he has come across facts and his sincerity is being tested. That's why he corrected himself. I love the analysis that Ibuka just brought in. When truth was brought to Apollos, he had a choice to make. And that's the same line we're going to put Pastor Moses in. He came across certain things. For instance, he was of the was part of the people who taught before that Brother Abraham brought new things, the church age, the seals, you know. But when he came across facts that, no, all these things were not new things, but Abraham did not bring anything new. They were there before, and Abraham just brought them from wherever he got them from and repeated them to the bride. Then he had to correct several things he taught. So please, brethren, don't be stumbled by that. I want to say a big thank you to these great men of God. If we allow you guys are loaded. You have many more to say. You have so much to say, but this is just to, you know, to send a message out there to the bride of Christ that we are certain of where we are standing.
That's right.
We are not just following man. We are not following man. We are moving as the Spirit of the Lord is leading us. We know where we are standing. We know where we are going. We are proving all things and we are holding fast to that is good. Once again, thank you, men of God. And to the Bride of Christ and the world, keep watching Bride TV. Rapture Watch, same time next week. God bless you. Shalom.